Welcome to the Minute Bake Gang Podcast, episode 217. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Good morning.
Phil Wilson.
Good morning.
And our buddy Graham Thickens is actually in a meeting this morning, so he couldn't make it. So we're going to miss him. We'll talk about him behind his back.
So who's the band? What's the music you're just playing today?
The music is... the band is Brain Bucket. And the song is Rocket Science.
It's interesting because I can't think of how many songs I've heard with slide guitar and brass. That's kind of interesting.
Really?
So, yeah.
And you know your music, Mr. DJ.
I'm sure that combination exists. I just don't think I've heard it with. I mean, it sounded like trombone. So. Anyway, sorry. I digress. Anyway,
yeah.
How's everybody doing?
We're doing great. How about you?
Just fine. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. How about you, Tim?
I'm good.
Tim and I, just before we popped on here, we're working on our Google updates. You know, I/O is this week and a lot of things coming out of Google and being updated and thrown out to, and being both of us Android users and all of us being slaves to Google. It's interesting. And we're struggling a bit to get some of the updates on our phones, but lots coming out of I/O, and I think probably the biggest one is the new Hangouts updates, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
We'll jump into that, right? We got a nice section on it, but
we've got to talk about local stuff first.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Right?
Yeah, come on, Phil.
Well, you know, really, if we wanted to focus on local, wouldn't it make more sense for us to put it at the end so we make people listen all the way through?
Well, I sort of have a local
or fast forward.
I sort of put in a local story that Julio did on Google Glass as a segue into the I/O section.
Oh, I understand.
So if you're looking at that in the show notes, you go, wow, that is an amazing segue.
And for anyone listening, just you know how professional we are.
Yeah.
Hey, I was listening to last week's show the other day, and you two are pretty professional.
Yeah.
You know, you should have your own morning show, morning drive time.
Wonderful comments about Moorhead.
That was classy.
That's professional.
That was a new low for you, Phil.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, that was not good.
Sorry.
All right. Okay. So what's this with Target doing a Netflix style streaming service?
You ever wonder? Why is it that companies like Target, who are so damn good at what they do, which is retail, why do they feel like, hey, we got a boatload of money, let's try something else, let's get into a business that everybody else and their dog is in?
Well, I don't think it's so much that. I think it's the fact that they're watching their DVD sales go down dramatically.
Right. But DVD sales in Target, not near as vital as DVD sales in Best Buy.
True, true. And Best Buy still has that Cinema Now thing, which is sort of the clunking along. But I found this to be this crazy that they're even testing their own service like this.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, why?
Yeah.
I mean, like, they're going to go to the movie studios and start to do all that and do their own original programming. And it seems to be running counter to their mission.
Yeah. Which is
to be a mass merchant and
to get people. If you look at it that way, though, I mean, seriously, the way you say it, mass merchant, if you're mass merchandising movies, that's the way you do it.
Well, that's true, except though that just remember when you walk into a Target store, if you've noticed lately, this has been maybe the last year and a half, they now have clearance items in each section on the back of the end cap, the back end cap. So you have to walk down the back aisle to be able to see the clearance items. And so
it's really dark in there and the walls are all brick and
it's only lit by
a dim street lamp.
But seriously, it brings you back to that area, and Target, they're masters at traffic flow. And I can't tell you how many times everybody laughs about this, but you walk in to maybe grab, toothpaste and some razor blades, and you walk out and you go, how'd I spend $150?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And you look in your cart and it's like, oh, geez, you know, because you bought all this other stuff. I mean, that's what they count on.
Yeah, all chocolate-covered peanut clusters. It's like, crap.
Yeah, why is that underwear in there? Oh, yeah, yeah, I needed that. I needed that underwear. But yeah, and I looked at this this article about, you, and I'll put a link in the show notes, about the U.S. home entertainment spending dipping. And this has been a story that's been published again and again over the last 3 years about DVD sales downtrending. Mm-hmm. And what's amazing is even I, who absolutely love good Blu-ray discs because of the quality, and I hate when I'm streaming something and I can see the pixelization in the black and the contrast ratio is not very good and so on. And even I would prefer to just watch it streaming usually.
So it's a lot more convenient, you know?
Yeah, it really is. Well, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think this is going to ever get out of their testing phase. They're internally testing it with, you know,
with employees.
Yeah. Employees. I just don't see a play for them here. The only one that I think has a chance is Redbox, because they have that Netflix style, you know, kiosk physical discs. I tried it. I was one of their beta testers. It is horribly bad. The quality is not good, and the user experience in the tablet app is not good either.
Really?
Which the Redbox version?
The Redbox, which is it's a Verizon thing. Verizon does the technology on the streaming, which is just terrible. You know, ultimately they're going to figure it out. Just like Netflix, when they first started streaming, wasn't very good either. So, you know, I'm sure they'll figure it out. And they've got that value proposition where it's, you pay, you know, I think it's $7.99, $8.99, and you get, I think it's four regular rentals at kiosks a month. Mm.
Okay.
Along with the streaming. So it does make some sense from that perspective. And it is competitive with Netflix. So, and they need to get on a bunch of boxes. You know, they need to get on the Roku and TiVo and so forth as well. I think they only have the Xbox right now as the only thing you can use to stream it. But, you know, that's the only one I see has potential. I don't see any of these other ones. You know, Amazon's going to chip away as well.
Yeah.
And they're going to be a factor. And Apple, who knows what they're going to do? Hopefully they're going to do something to make Apple TV more interesting. And so I just don't see there being a space in the market for any more than, you know, three players, you know?
Are you finding, you know, we're all Netflix subscribers, are we not?
Yep.
Do you feel that's a good value? Are you guys getting the value out of Netflix that you put into it?
Yeah. No,
I am for $8 a month. Sure.
After we run through all the TV programs that we're watching on it, then maybe not. But yeah, no, watched it last night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Catching up on my Portlandia.
I always, you know, I look to, maybe it's just me, but I always look to Netflix for, you know, movies. And, you know, the movies are so limited in the streaming service. Just so limited.
Yeah. After they lost the deal with Starz.
Yeah.
Then it ended up being it was bad. So.
Well, I mean, there's enough on there to keep it interesting, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I like we also do Hulu Plus, and they have the Criterion Collection on, which is, you know, some of the greatest movies ever made. And it's good to go back to some of those.
I think I used Hulu Plus for about 15 minutes.
Almost all of them are foreign. So.
Yeah. Well, and also it's, you know,
Steve.
I just lost my mind. Never mind. Let's go to the next story.
He's had a stroke.
What he was going to say is that he started to watch Fellini's 8.5 on Netflix. The subtitles were off the screen. So he had to stop it. And he was very disappointed.
Yeah, no.
Because as visually stunning as 8.5 is, you have to understand Italian, or you have to like read the subtitles to get the whole experience.
Well, you know? Fun facts to know and tell. Don Ball put out, you know, the guy that runs Coco with his buddy,
Kyle,
put out a post about this 2011 documentary that was our 2012 documentary called Hitler's Children, and it's about the children and grandchildren of some of the most horrific players in the Nazi regime. And so I started watching it, and the trailer had subtitles, but then I'm watching it and there are no subtitles. I'm like, what? So I go into settings on the Apple TV and I can't figure out how to get stuff. So I grab my iPad. I do a quick Google search. The very first thing that comes up is an Apple community's discussion about it. And the second post in that is, oh yeah, once you start to play, you hold down the center button on the Apple remote and it pops up a screen and you can toggle closed captioning on and off. And I did that and I had my subtitles. It was awesome.
But that's using closed captioning. That's right. Not using subtitles. Yeah. There's something wrong with that file.
Yeah.
Cause it should have had subtitles, right? It's all in German, right?
Yeah. Well, mostly in German. Yeah.
Man, I feel stupid. I'm watching Bugs Bunny cartoons and you guys are watching documentaries. Damn.
That's actually one of the best parts about Netflix is they got great documentaries.
Yeah, that's true.
They do.
They do. Yeah.
All right. So we've sort of poo-pooed on the whole concept of the Target movie service.
Yeah. I don't see it.
So the Minnesota Angel tax credits are all gone.
Target sucked them all up.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but that means no more startups in Minnesota for the rest of the year.
Oh, would you stop?
That's it.
Yeah, there's no more money.
It's interesting they ran out this month. They ran out last year at the end of the summer. So,
right. You know,
I guess it's good that they found enough startup to support early in the year, but it's not good for people looking for money late in the year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's
maybe they'll appropriate some more money to it.
I wonder who got. Well, that's going to be tough, but yeah, there is that possibility that they could fund it through the rest of the year. But I don't see that happening. Not the way the state budget is progressing, but. I wonder who the last startup to claim some money was.
I haven't gone to the website, but I don't think they reveal who gets the credits, do they?
Probably not.
Okay.
Did you check out this iNeuron app in Kickstarter?
Yeah, yes. Local. That's why I put it in there. Interesting app, though. It makes total sense.
Well, and it's I'm not sure that that a specific app is going to get a lot of funding. An app platform, I think, would be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, where they would, you know, create a science-based curriculum platform that then others could deliver their content through. I think that would actually be more interesting. But what's cool about this is in the video they talk about marrying education with gaming. And, you know, I got to tell you, that's probably one of the biggest trends in education globally is game theory and gaming and the concepts of gaming and the successive iterations and feedback loops and all the things that happen when you play games that you fail, and then you succeed and then you fail a bunch more. You succeed more frequently and pretty soon you've mastered it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the traditional education system, there really isn't an opportunity to fail, you know, and do it frequently so that you can master something. You got to go study, take a test, and you either pass or fail, you know, or you're graded on it, and that's it.
Well, I don't know. It was the last time you were checked out the education system, but they give you about 80 attempts at getting your test passed.
No, I know.
Because, you know, if you don't pass your test, they don't get the funding.
Yeah.
So anyway.
It has changed. No, I know.
It's interesting to take a look at this, though. And I wonder, as I look at Kickstarter and think about the types of things that do get funded with Kickstarter, like you, Steve, I wonder, you know, how much, how successful are they going to be in securing enough funding for an app that's, or for a project that is, less than sexy, let's say.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of curious because I think it's very, I would love to be in a position to fund things like that.
Well, have you guys ever gone in, and I would encourage people to do this, just go to Kickstarter.com and there's a search box at the top, and put in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And it'll bring up, you know, if there's four, it'll bring up four with an arrow, and you can go and you can scroll through all of the Minnesota projects that have been that are either out there to be funded. There are two right now. An album of hymns and a book about small town restaurants, you know, mom and pop restaurants and diners in small Minnesota towns. But all the rest of them were successfully funded. And you can scroll through and take a look at those. And I encourage people to do that, because what it ends up doing is it does kind of open up your brain to say, what if, you know, what sorts of things, projects am I interested in doing that potentially could be funded, that I could do a Kickstarter project on there. And if anybody is considering doing a Kickstarter project, then make sure you go in and look at some of the successful ones and the way that they did it and how they explained their value prop or how they did their video. Because I believe the video is the number one way to get funded. I mean, obviously the idea has to be sound. You know, it can't be, I'm going to do a chronicle of Phil Wilson's life,
because yeah,
you know, that'll be a buck that. And a half on a
$5,000.
Yeah. No, I'm teasing.
Don't do that. Gee.
Yeah. But, it's kind of a cool project. So,
interesting.
So Julio got to wear Google Glass, huh?
Apparently.
Yeah.
And thank God, not in the shower.
Oh, geez, Scoble. So for those that don't know, well, let's talk about Julio's article first.
Yeah, let's not talk about Scoble.
except that he got dissed by Larry Page.
First rule of Robert Scoble, don't talk about Robert Scoble.
Yeah.
So anyway, yes, go on, Julio's article.
Yeah, I thought it was a good article. And yeah. He talked about the software engineer at Space 150 that has one. And
there's some interesting ideas. Documentation of disasters is one of them that, you know, I guess would be good. I mean, if people had Google Glass at that Boston Marathon bombing thing, that would be, you'd have a lot of interesting video to go through.
Right. Well, so Google Glass seems to be just a wearable camera then. Is that really it?
It's a wearable smartphone, if you will.
Well, I suppose that's what they say anyway. But yet the only thing you ever see are pictures and video taken from Google Glass. It's like, okay, yeah. Great. What else does it do? Because I mean, you get that now with a GoPro camera. You don't have to spend $1,500 and travel to Chicago to pick it up.
Well, but you know, here's the thing is that, you know, imagine if you were a nurse and you're walking around in a hospital and you can see messages or you can pull up patient records, you know, things like that. Wouldn't that be useful? Or, you know, anything that you have to do that's hands-free. Or if you're traveling, you know, be able to have overlays of you know, historic events and all that kind of stuff.
You know, I don't see the urgency to have it right in front of my face.
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest thing, that the trouble that I have with Glass. Don't get me wrong, it's an exciting technology, and I'm sure, you know, it's just, this is the clunky, you know, the clunky version of what of the technology it represents. But you know, the distraction, you still find yourself looking at people and talking with people in person, and you know, they're looking past you or looking over your shoulder or looking around while they're, you know, obviously not engaged with you. I mean, that could happen full time if you really had a screen permanently in the upper right hand corner of your eye.
So. Yeah, I think you can, you know, I think at the end of the day, I'm going to have to reserve judgment until I try it out.
Yeah. Well, you could get a hold of Lulu Grimm and have Jen get you the 150 class. So.
There you go.
So she's over there now. I saw she posted a picture of her wearing Glass.
Oh, she works there, or she just was there?
She's at Space 150.
Huh, okay.
I don't know if she's heading up. She's doing a lot of their social and interactive community building stuff. So.
Got it.
You got to stay on top of these things, Steve.
Yeah. I know.
At the edge.
So, well, so what'd you?
So Tim, are you gonna jump up and down on the Google Glass thing?
No. I just don't think it's at this stage. It's not that compelling. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it offers a great utility. If it was, even if it was down to $200 or $300, it would still be a tough sell, I think, for me.
You know, I see the opportunity to integrate that with like their goggles application.
Yeah.
And I have goggles, the goggles app on my phone. Wait a minute. Not anymore. I don't, because I never used it. And I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. It'll just be interesting to see. It all depends on, you know, what age you grow up in. We talked many times about my history and the radio business, and you know, we found out early on that your musical taste is shaped by about 13 years of age until about 18 years of age, or maybe up to 22, depending on, you know, how active you are. But you know, it's the same thing with technology. If you know, your technology tastes and expectations change depending on the age that you're in. So it may not make sense to us, but it may be, you know, old hat to somebody 20 years from now.
Yeah. No, there's no question.
So, well, so anyway.
So the Google I.O. thing, besides the fact that it sold out in 2 minutes, or was that WWDC?
WWDC.
Yeah, it sold out quickly, let's just say that.
Yes, always does.
But that everybody got a Google Chromebook. So they gave away 6,000 Google Chromebooks. But there were a lot of announcements. New Google Maps, Google Hangouts.
It was kind of interesting as far as the Maps upgrade, the Maps changes. It was like, you know, the people that had Android got it after the iPhone people. So it's kind of interesting.
Well, because they have to put it out for the best platform first.
Yeah, it was the upgrade for, you know, the Google app or Google Maps for the new iPhone 5. So that's why it was developed first there. But still, you think, hey, wait a minute, I'm walking around with the Google platform. Shouldn't I get that stuff first?
Well, I thought that the changes in Hangouts was interesting.
Yep. Yeah, they're trying to do an iMessages sort of thing.
An iMessages thing, but also the mobile aspect is really key. And the one thing they didn't talk about, I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but you know, the next version of the and of course they're probably not because they're moving open source, but is for video is H.265, which is supposed to be a significantly better compression codec and will allow much better video streaming capability. And I wonder what they're using in these apps. So for iOS, are they using QuickTime? Did you hear anything?
I don't know.
For the Hangouts?
Yeah, I didn't watch the keynote. I just watched the 3.5 minute thing that The Verge put up.
Yeah.
After.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't know. And it'll be interesting to know what, which direction they're going to go in. But the maps look great. And the conversational voice search through the Chrome browser.
Yeah, that's basically bringing Google Now to the Chrome.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to really change the way that people look at search on their desktop. Because now, those of us that have Jelly Bean phones can use Google Now to search on anything with voice search, and it works very, very well.
Well, and that's why the Google search icon is in my dock on my iPhone. Because if I've got to look up a phone number, I'll just put it, touch that little blue icon, and up it comes. And then I touch the voice, and my car is connected. It's connected through Bluetooth in my car. And I'll just say phone number 4 and then just fill in the blank. And it almost always is perfectly recognized. And I can just then touch the phone number and make the call. So it's fabulous. And I'll use it all the time on my desktop. So I thought that was kind of a cool development.
Interesting. Yeah. So lots of stuff to play with on I.O. So I haven't seen any big changes to maps yet, Tim. Have you had a chance to spend some time with the new maps?
I have not opened them up since they updated it. So I spent a long time with the maps last week while we were in Washington.
A little bit different.
And so I'm well acquainted with the way that they look. Let's see that. Yeah, it looks a little different.
You guys are being way too quiet.
I know. It is kind of interesting, isn't it? We seem to be kind of quiet today. Why is that? Why are we quiet today?
I don't know.
Maybe it's just the weather. And it's kind of crappy.
I don't know. I just think it's because we're not drinking like we usually do. And I think that's always a mistake. So.
Drinking? I do cocaine.
Yeah, I think you're right.
No, oh, I do cocaine.
All right, Stevie.
Hey.
Hey.
Well, you know, you have those shows, kids. You just have those shows, so you can't always hit home runs. We're making doubles today. So sorry about that.
So I was waiting because my phone finally gave out the original Galaxy S. The radio literally stopped working. So I have to reboot the thing like four or five times in the day.
Yeah.
So obviously that wasn't going to work out. So I was waiting for what Google was going to do at I/O before I got a new phone. And of course, what they do is they release a $650 Galaxy S4 running stock Android. So wow. I went and I got a Nexus 4 on closeout at Costco, which they were closing out yesterday, strangely enough, for $80.
Oh, really?
Yep. But that was it. They were shipping them all back. I think I was the last one to get one.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
So was $80 the full price? Or was it subsidized?
Yep. It's subsidized.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm still on the T-Mobile subsidy program.
Got it.
But it's still better than $299, actually $349, which is what the Google price is. So
yeah,
it's a 16-gig model. It seems to be pretty good.
You like it?
Yeah, battery life is not so good, but maybe it's because I was installing a bunch of stuff yesterday and using it a lot, but...
Well, that could have something to do with it, sure.
Yeah. I mean, this is the first one that's had an integrated battery. I've always had one where I could carry two batteries with me.
And that's what we were talking about last week. That's the same thing for me. It's like I can't carry two batteries with it, but maybe I need to start carrying one of those USB charging things.
That's what I do. I've got one that I can also charge my iPad. It's a 6400 milliamp. And it's big. But it works great.
Mm-hmm. So it's like carrying around a big battery. It's like, you know.
Yeah. Exactly what it is.
But I'm just gonna hook mine to my car with jumper cables. Just go that way.
Well, I was so excited about an app for the iPhone called Moves, and it's something that'll track your steps during the day. And tell you how many steps you have, because, you know, the minimum you should walk is 10,000 steps. And so, you know, just my normal moving around, and then we go out for an hour walk, and, you know, I'm at, you know, 10.5 or 11.5, depending on the day. And that's great, except the Moves app, I don't do anything at all, and all of a sudden I've got, you know, like 75% battery after like an hour and a half, because the thing's on all the time, you know, pinging its location and looking up GPS and so on. So it's just a battery hog. And that's the one thing that I'm finding with these things, especially if you're running location services, is these apps are starting to really suck the battery. I don't know if you guys find that as well.
You know, I haven't noticed it as much on my new phone, because obviously I'm not familiar enough with it, but yeah, it's always a problem. Apps are taking up all your power.
Yeah.
Yes. There's an awkward silence again.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Well, the other thing was this Google Play Books.
It's interesting new features, which I think will make that app a lot more compelling than it is now.
Yeah. But, you know, overall, Google I/O was kind of a yawn. I mean, it was interesting because there was some incremental, feature upgrades and so forth, but it was just kind of like, yeah, whatever.
So you're bummed that nobody was jumping out of planes and stuff like that. Is that what you're saying?
No, not so much that, but it's, I mean, there's all kinds of things that, wow, Google unveils Hangouts, but yet Google Plus is still this island, you know, without an API, and I can't use any other social product to send to it and harvest it and so on. And I mean, it's just, you know, it's just stuff like that that isn't quite there. I mean, they're making all kinds of great changes to Gmail and to Google Drive, but they're all incremental. There's nothing that, to me anyway, that seemed like, wow, this is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you can't, you know, that's been the complaint about, you know, a lot of conferences, just incremental. You know, at some point in time, you have to just realize that you can't always have a game changer until you have a game.
So. Right.
Well, it just seems to me like we've hit a spot with smartphones that there's not a whole lot they can do with these things. I mean, they can make the screens bigger, but I think that they're at the limits of that right now.
Well, you're a slave to the technology of the time. All right, yeah. Do I sound philosophical today? That's what I feel like I'm being very philosophical today. So
you do.
It's really stupid. So.
No, I think we're it's the same thing happened with PCs too, where, you know, they got fast enough and there was no compelling reason to upgrade. The only reason you would upgrade is if the thing literally failed. So I think we're reaching that same point with smartphones, where, you know, I could see using this Nexus 4 for 3 or 4 years.
Really?
Yeah, I don't see a compelling reason that I'm going to need to upgrade within the next 3 or 4 years. Yeah.
Right now, you don't see a compelling reason.
Yeah, I don't. Well, and I feel like this is like, and this is the reason I got this one over the Galaxy S4 or the HTC One, is it's pure Google, and they're going to upgrade it just like Apple upgrades the iPhone, where you can stay on the latest version. So it makes the device more useful longer.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah. Well, so my favorite thing that happened, though, at the Google I/O event was Robert, I am such a douchebag, Scoble.
I know we were not going to talk about Scoble.
Who did his, I have to bring it up, but you know, when he wore those in the shower with his goofy looking face and he went up to ask a question about Google Glass, and Larry Page joked with him, Robert, I really didn't appreciate the shower photo. And yuck, right? But it was you know, that's the kind of PR that they don't want for this device.
You know, I think everybody's reading too much into that.
Well, maybe.
A device will take, no matter, you know, I suppose there's people that can screw up a launch of something, but come on, it's too early to worry about that right now.
True.
It's really way too early. Yeah. This is not a device for Joe Sixpack. This is a device for geeks like us to talk about. So it'll get there, though. So, so what's going on around the community as far as events and upcoming conferences, etc.? We've got see WordPress MSP is scheduled for the 23rd next week. Are you going to be there, Tim, or are you just chucking it on there?
No, I'm putting it on there. And I may actually show up as well.
Okay. All right.
It's looking a little sparse here in the summer for events, you know.
Got a couple of hacks going on and that sort of stuff. So,
cool.
Let's see, the I/O festival. I don't know if we got into that, and then also the Drupal camp is coming back. I was at Drupal camp last year.
Yeah, what did you think of that last year?
I as a WordPress guy, it's one of those things. It's like, wow, this is a whole different world, and it is a really different world. I don't know. We'll see. Huh. But, you know, I almost forgot, as we were kind of going through the, you know, wrapping up with the events, I did almost forget the reason the Men of 8 Gang podcast exists, and that is
Steve's security tip of the week.
Oh, wow. It's all about security.
Now, all right. But the thing is, we probably shouldn't have Steve doing the intro, his own intro for Steve's Security of the Week.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So enough about me. What do you think about me?
Yeah, that's right.
Go ahead, Steve. What is the security tip of the week?
Well, so the security tip of the week is don't put anything secure in a Skype instant message. And the reason is that there's a geek who connected up with Heiss Security in Germany. They're a big security firm, and discovered that Microsoft is viewing those secure URLs. Now, it's probably algorithmic based, and they go out and they're looking for spam and things like that. But somebody informed Heiss Security that he had observed some unusual network traffic following a Skype instant messaging conversation. And he thought it was maybe a potential replay attack where you can just reverse it and send it right back. But it turned out that an IP address traced to Microsoft had accessed the HTTPS, the secure SSL URL, previously transmitted over Skype. And then Heiss Security reproduced the events. They sent two test URLs, and it came back and also had the password in there. And it was just not good. And others have also recreated this as well. In the comments, some people were putting stuff in there like, who's the idiot that puts in a secure URL and then puts their password in there? If you're doing that, you got much bigger problems than worrying about Microsoft, reading your secure stuff. But at the end of the day, my biggest issue is the fact that, just look what Joe Sixpack has to deal with. Besides all the government warrantless wiretapping and the building of a $2 billion NSA data center that's going to siphon off traffic, there are phishing scams. There's evolving malware, like with Java. There's tracking cookies and services. There's compromised SSL certificates from these bogus SSL authorities, smartphone privacy settings, Facebook privacy settings, data breaches, insecure public Wi-Fi. I mean, oh my God. I mean, what do people have to do? Go get a computer science degree or a degree in cybersecurity to be able to, play in the digital realm. And the last thing we need is the companies that we're supposed to trust compromising the security of what we're doing there. So anyway,
Companies that we trust, that's, are you applying Microsoft?
Theoretically.
Do we trust them? Okay.
Sorry. Google, Apple.
Yeah.
Anybody.
Well,
yeah.
I think all of them are cooperating with the government, and it's all in the name of trying to fight terrorism.
Well, absolutely.
But what's going to happen is that all of our communications, whether they be, voice or data or IM or what have you, are all going to be cataloged, and they may not be studied, but they're going to be searched through for sure.
Right.
So I think it's chilling for personal liberty, just everywhere that they're allowed to do this, which apparently they are, which is to take our personal information and put it in a big database that they can search against it to find terrorists.
Right. Right. Well, and now you're seeing that NASA is moving into quantum computing. And so the first quantum computers are being built, which will allow literally thousands of concurrent processes to be run instead of just a few. And so who knows how long AES and other encryption standards are even going to hold up. So,
well, we'll have to keep watching it.
Yep. We will
get off the space station before it explodes.
That's right. Well, let's hope you hear a warning bell.
Your sweeper sounded like it was like a space station explosion.
Oh, God.
Get off the space station before it explodes. It's like Borscht's Run.
There you go.
Oh, God.
All right. Well, listen, with that, We're going to take a paddle to ourselves, a couple of paddles to ourselves, do a little defib for the next one, get our energy up again next, guys, and we'll see you next week on...
The Minovate Gang Podcast.
Now, see, even that sounded kind of quiet.
Oh. So
hopefully with Hangouts working on our Android phones.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, boys. See you.
With a hoe.